Hello, you join me here on RNIB Connect Radio in the gallery spaces of Tate Modern on London's Bankside with Juliet Bingham, who's the curator of the Maria Bartusova exhibition. Hello, Juliet, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, it's lovely to be here today.
It's nice to be in the gallery space here and to be surrounded by Maria's work, and I could just reach out and touch them because they're very tactile. But I wondered if you could just maybe give me a bit of a brief background of her life and her work as well, because I don't think she was as well recognised during her life as she is now.
Yes, so Maria Bartusova was born in Prague and studied in the Academy of Applied Arts in the mid-50s. And then moved from Prague to the industrial city of Košice, which is now in Slovakia, where she spent the remainder of her life concentrating on developing a very innovative and kind of transformative sculptural practice. She was very inspired by the natural world, but also her own lived experience. And that very much feeds into the abstract works that she developed, mostly working with plaster, but also on some occasions casting the works in aluminium or bronze. So the exhibition really looks or highlights two of her very important techniques. Early on, she developed, whilst playing with her daughter, she had a kind of eureka moment whilst playing with an inflatable ball, that she could actually use children's balloons to cast in using plaster. And it allowed her to create very full and heavy sprouting forms and multi-part works. And she would cast the works sometimes using gravity to create drop-like forms, or mould the works by submerging the plaster and latex form in water. She called this gravity-stimulated casting. So we include a number of those works on display. And as you mentioned, they have this very sensual, tactile quality. And later in her life, in the 80s, she developed a different technique that she termed pneumatic casting, where she would blow her own breath into balloons, sometimes using large meteorological balloons, to create very hollow, open forms. So a very different sensibility to the early works. She became increasingly interested in, you know, the cycles of life and decay and disintegration and ephemeral practices. So these take the form of hollowed out eggs, perforated forms and large shell-like reliefs.
And the term biomorphic sort of comes up when people describe her work, which I think is very much a sort of abstract way of taking nature and the human body and turning that into some form of art form. Is that very much true of her work?
Yeah, I mean, she was fascinated by the natural world and lived a fairly secluded life in Košice. And she had a studio which opened out onto a hilly landscape garden and also enjoyed taking walks along the river and making photographs, capturing moments in time photographically, like melting snow or, you know, trees, birds, eggs. And those experiences are reflected in her work. Equally, her experience as a mother and a woman. But she was never directly abstracting from nature. So there's something in her work that's very much about her own personal journey and this kind of intimacy, which is translated into works that have this very haptic, timeless, also precarious quality.
And obviously her work is very tactile, and I believe in the 1970s and 1980s she worked with a number of visually impaired children using her sculptures to do workshops with them. And I wondered if she had any sort of connection with sight loss at all, or whether this was something just because she enjoyed exploring through touch and getting young people to explore sculpture and explore the nature and everything else.
Yes, so Maria Bartusova collaborated with art historian Gabrielle Kladek to use her sculptures in workshops in 1976 and 1983 with blind and partially sighted children. And I think it very much developed out of her own interest in different ways of experiencing the world. So whether that is children's perspective or blind and partially sighted perspective, or her own interest in meditation and spirituality and her own reflections on being in the living world. So this kind of breadth of experience. And from the early 60s, she had already started making multi-part works which could be taken apart and intuitively reassembled. And she was interested in the psychological expressions. So for her, rounded, soft objects could reflect warmth. And she spoke of cells touching or a kind of, you know, erotic embrace. and then cold, hard-edged objects were another facet of what she was trying to explore in her work, but also in the workshops. So this aesthetic imagination that was experienced through tactile touch and haptic experience.
And we are, as we are in the gallery at the moment, surrounded by a lot of her work, which is just wonderful to be here and to actually see her work. Are there any particular exhibits here of Maria's work that you think people coming to the exhibition should seek out?
Yes, so I think it's very difficult to just pick one, so I might suggest a few. One of the earliest works in the exhibition was originally created in plaster and then cast in aluminium. And she wrote in her notes, referred to this piece as a tree swaying in the wind, and it takes the form of a small vertical sculpture, which she actually cast inside a condom. And when she first made this work, she was pregnant with her first child. And in annotated drawings, she also makes reference to the embryo. So I think it's an example early on that brings together her really innovative technique of working with plaster, a very malleable material that can be, you know, manipulated and used and kind of fit into her very busy life. But it also makes direct reference to her experience as a woman and a mother. So that's an important kind of starting point. And then if you move into rooms 3 to 4 of the exhibition, there's a very open cut aperture into the gallery wall, which holds her installation from the mid-80s, which she showed in her only major solo exhibition of her lifetime. And it's basically made up of pieces of tensioned string arranged almost like a cat's cradle. And between the string, small hand-sized plaster objects are suspended. So again, it references these very full shapes, the very tactile, sensual object, but also a precarity because the works are just literally suspended in space by the string. And then I suppose the third work that would be useful to highlight is relating to her later technique of pneumatic casting, where she would blow her own breath into balloons, sometimes meteorological balloons, and allow the plaster to crack around the surface of the balloon structure. And so these create very fragile, large-scale reliefs, one of which we're showing on the wall, and then a smaller series of perforated oval-like forms. And towards the end of her life, she became more, you know, consumed with questions of existence and decay and precariousness and kind of ephemeral nature. So I think those three works really highlight different perspectives in her practice.
And Juliet, do you think that artists today are being inspired by her work? And do you think her work will continue in the future to inspire other artists?
Yes, I think what's interesting about Maria Bartusova is that during her lifetime she was little recognised, but it's partially through the interest of a younger generation of artists that there's been a great deal of enthusiasm and research that's now gone into her work. So there are a number of artists from Slovakia, including Roman Ondak, whose work is represented in Tate's collection, who've really advocated for her practice. And there have been a number of really important exhibitions at the Slovak National Gallery, at the Museum of Modern Art Warsaw, and also now at Venice Biennial, where her work is set against both historical and contemporary artists. So there are a number of themes in her work which seem very prescient today. She was particularly interested in the natural world and ecology, and many of the works which are bound by string highlight this idea of interconnectedness, so the bonds that tie us together in human relationships, but also our bond with the natural world. And I think as we become increasingly aware of and concerned about protecting the environment, her work also is a kind of signal about these important questions.
Well, the Maria Bartusova exhibition continues here at Tate Modern until the 16th of April 2023. And for visually impaired visitors, you can book a personal described tour by either emailing hello@tate.org.uk or calling 020-7887-8888. And there's also a downloadable visually impaired guide to the exhibition as well. Thank you very much indeed, Juliet, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about Maria Bartusova's work and the exhibition here at Tate Modern.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to meet with you.